This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. With the release of the film Monuments Men this month, Hollywood is shining a rare light on the work of archivists, librarians, and historians.
In the midst of World War II, as historic buildings were being bombed and art collections and museums looted across Europe, the United States sent a group of academics charged with protecting artifacts and returning them to their owners.
These soldiers were part of the Monuments, Fine Arts, and Archives section of the U.S. Army. They came to be known as the Monuments Men. The group grew over to 300, including women, by the way. They worked to find and return art long after the war was over.
The University of Wisconsin sent some of its own men as part of the mission, and UW Director of Archives David Null is here with us to share their stories. David, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
So who were the Monuments Men?
The Monuments Men were basically people sent, as you said, academics from around the country who had backgrounds in art history and archives, in various fields to try to preserve cultural artifacts that were either being destroyed in Germany or were being, sometimes they were looted by the Nazis and were being stored often in underground mines. Sometimes they were things that were stored from museums. Sometimes they were just documents documenting the history of the Nazi government. And so people were sent over to sort of look for those things, to try to find them, to uncover them, save them. And there were several people who either worked at UW at the time or who later worked at UW who were part of that group.
Well, who were the people from UW? Let's go.
The main people from UW, Gilbert Doan, who was the director of the university libraries from 1937 to 1957, and he went into the Monuments Men unit in about 1943. We don't know a whole lot about what he did. He wrote a letter to the president of the university asking for leave, saying that he thought he was going to be working on preserving archives, libraries, and art museums in the occupied territories. But we don't have a lot of idea about what he did. Of course, it was classified at the time. The other main person from UW was Jess Bell. Gilbert Doan was besides the director of the library, after he left that position, became the first director of the university archives. Jess Bell was the second director of the university archives. He was working for the National Archives in Washington, D.C. during World War II and went into the Monuments Men also as part of that. His daughter, who lives here in Middleton, said she always wondered if he had much of a choice about going in since he was already working for the National Archives, but we're not sure about that. He worked a lot on documents that were found in salt mines in Germany, and my predecessor in the archives, Frank Cook, said Bell told him stories about trying to take documents out of the salt mines and having them starting to crumble, and they actually had to work in the mines to try to get the salt off of the documents and preserve the documents before they could take them up to the surface.
Wait, why were they hidden? Were they hidden in salt mines, or is that for some reason?
I don't think they were really hidden. I mean, there's sort of a couple of things going on, both with artwork and with documents. Some of the artwork was plundered. It was stolen from Jewish families, or the Nazis took it from various places. But some of it was just, they stored things from museums to try to keep them safe from bombings. And it was sort of the same way with some of their documents from the German government. They tried to just keep them safe as Berlin, other cities were being bombed. And so they stored them to try to keep those documents safe. And the U.S. and the Monuments Men was really a multinational effort, was trying to preserve those documents as records of what the Nazi government was doing.
Now, you talked about these two, Gilbert Doan and Jess Bell, as part of a Wisconsin contingent to the Monuments Men. Were they considered soldiers?
Basically, yes. I mean, I think Gilbert Doan had a rank of major when he retired, and they had to. We have a 2- or 3-page letter from Doan talking about going through sort of, wasn't really basic training, but they had to go through training to sort of tell them how to act as officers or how to act as people in a military setting where they weren't used to being in that type of a setting. And they had to do a lot, if you've seen the movie, they had to do a lot of sort of negotiating with people. They weren't always on the front lines, but they were trying to preserve art and history and documents at a time when people are fighting, and it's sort of not their highest priority always to preserve things or to make sure that something gets saved when they're trying to keep people from getting killed. And there were several other people who have Wisconsin connections too, who were in the Monuments Men. We know of at least 5 other people who have some connections to the university or to the state. Paul Vanderbilt, who was a longtime curator of photographs at the Wisconsin Historical Society, was also one of the monument's men.
Now, you said that a lot of what they went through seems to have been classified. Even the daughter of Jess Bell didn't really know the story. What do we know? What did filter down about their experience there?
Most of what's filtered down has come from sort of oral histories or talking to people. I know one of them actually published, one person up from the University of Wisconsin published a memoir of sort of what he did during the war. A lot of it was, the movie makes it, I think, a little bit more dramatic than it probably was. I mean, they discovered that a lot of these things were being kept in salt mines. They had to figure out what was there. They had to sort of catalog it. They had to try to figure out where it came from, how to get it back to whatever museums or collections it came from. That was particularly difficult for artwork that was essentially stolen from Jewish families or places like that, where it's much harder to figure out where it came from as opposed to things from museums, which was easier. And so a lot of it, I think, was just sort of identifying what was there, trying to see what type of shape it was, and trying to figure out where it had actually come from and how to get it back to the places it came from.
Do you have a sense of how deeply they felt the importance of their mission there, how much the pieces of history, these documents, these works of art, how much it meant to them?
I think it mattered a lot to them. I mean, it's somewhat hard to tell, but they were all trained professionals in these fields, in archives, in libraries, in art history. And I think they felt deeply about what they were doing. I know Jess Bell's daughter said her father didn't talk much about his experiences, but that he felt very saddened and upset by the destruction in Germany and what he saw taking place there. And so I think they felt very much that they were trying to preserve very important cultural artifacts of civilization, of Western civilization. And I think they felt very strongly about that.
Now, there's still a lot of artwork, for instance, that is missing since World War II. Do you know whether this Monuments Men effort is still something that's ongoing?
I think in a sense it is. I mean, there's been a lot of news recently about sort of trying to repatriate, particularly, again, art stolen from Jewish families during World War II, and try to figure out how to get that back to people. The Nazis destroyed a lot of what they considered sort of degenerative art, more modern art, cubist art, things like that, that they didn't think were good art, and they destroyed a lot of that. But there certainly, I think, is still ongoing effort to try to figure out what art was actually taken, not so much from museums, but again, from private collections, particularly from Jews in Europe, and try to get that back to the people it came from.
Now, one of the two we've been talking about, I believe it was Gilbert, said their job was to keep the good stuff and get rid of the junk. How do they tell? I mean, I guess that's why you send trained archivists to the site, but how did they sort of sift through what they found?
That's still a problem for archivists, how you decide what's going to be important and what's going to be important in the future. And I'm sure they sort of use the same sort of appraisal techniques we have today of just trying to look at least large categories of documents and say, you know, these are things, you know, if it's something talking about budget, we probably don't care too much. If it's something talking about how the government worked, what was actually going on, that's something you care about. I'm sure they had to make sort of decisions based on large categories of documents and probably saved more perhaps than they needed to. But often that's what you end up doing to try to get the good things. You save more than maybe you have to save.
Now, you can imagine that for Jess and Gilbert, these two who had connections with UW, you said there were also an additional five, but coming back after the war must have been incredibly different. That must have been a once-in-a-lifetime experience for them. How did they reacclimate to academic life?
Again, it's somewhat hard to know. You don't hear a lot about that. Again, they didn't talk a lot about it. I know just physically, again, Jess Bell's daughter said that her father coughed for a long time afterwards, which I think was just from the salt in the salt mines and the sort of the cold down there where they were working for it. But I think, like, just Gilbert Doan came back, and it was a time where they were trying to get funding to build Memorial Library. He had a lot going on. They were trying to get him back as soon as they could to get him working on things they needed here on campus. Jess Bell took a little while to decide to come from Washington, from the National Archives, back to Wisconsin and start working again for the Wisconsin Historical Society, and did decide to come back to the Midwest. So I think it did take them a while to probably acclimate back to what they were doing before the war, just like it does for anyone to come back from war to reacclimate.
Do you have a sense of how successful they were at retrieving this lost art and archives, about how that effort went?
I think they were fairly successful, probably not as successful as maybe as they had hoped to be. And again, it's somewhat hard to know because you don't really have one big comprehensive list of what was taken or stolen or destroyed.
You can't check pieces off your
list. Yeah, you can't really say, okay, we know that the Nazis took this from the Rothschild family. We know they took this from whatever family. And so, and I'm sure it's difficult to figure out how much you got. I think you have to be sort of happy with what you managed to save, and they did save an awfully lot.
Now, you saw the movie. Did it match up against what you just told me? Were there salt mines?
There were salt mines. Like I said, the movie's a little bit maybe more dramatic than it was in real life, but but it's a movie.
That's Hollywood for you.
Yes.
Well, do you think the UW left a legacy in its monuments, men? Are we proud of this?
Oh, yeah, and I think it's an interesting for us. I mean, archivists, librarians, art historians don't get a lot of publicity, and a lot of, particularly in something like wartime. And so it's been very interesting for us, and to add some information. There's a Monumentsmen website that they ask to add information to about the people, and we'll be able to do some of that.
All right. David, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was David Null, Director of Archives at the University of Wisconsin. We've been talking about the university's contribution to the Monuments Men world of World War II, and the topic has gotten attention lately with the release of the movie Monuments Men, directed by George Clooney.